Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Before today's episode, I have a small ask. John, you don't front load and ask. It's such a turnoff. Okay, first I just want to say then, I really thank you for listening to my podcast. It has given me a sense of purpose, which has been the greatest gift this world has given me since my rebirth. So thank you for that, sincerely. Here's my ask. So Apple did an update and it has affected the subscribership significantly. So my ask is, if you have time, please resubscribe to the Anger Therapist podcast because you might have been unsubscribed. And also, if you have a minute, if you can rate and review, that would mean the world. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy today's episode. So one of the things that I love doing, which I call breadcrumbing, is taking excerpts from my book as I write my book and release them via my podcast. So my book is not out yet. It's called Break Up on Purpose. And it's basically about how to turn your breakups into breakthroughs. And even if you're not going through a breakup, if there's a breakup in your life or if there's residue from the past that is impacting you, your thinking, your state, and of course your relationships, this may be super helpful for you, this breakup book. So it's my first breakup book, and this section is about cheating. It's about infidelity. So it may also be activating. I think the goal is to empower you to take the power back by reframing and looking at cheating in a different way. And of course, if you're not in a place to look at it that way, this is going to be really hard to listen to. So if you're not at that place, then save this episode. And I encourage you to listen to it when you are ready. All right. Let's start with some common reasons why people cheat. It may be helpful to see that there was a reason for your partner's cheating, and that reason may have nothing to do with you. It also didn't just come out of nowhere. It came from somewhere, even if it was just an impulse. Impulsivity may have been a pattern of behavior, maybe compounded by the situation or by drift, whether in the relationship or within self. As you mull over being cheated on, it may also be helpful to see your ex as a person, not a monster. And this is the part that, if you're not ready, may be hard to hear, right? I want to try to humanize the quote-unquote cheater. All right, so in general, there are, I think, six reasons why people cheat. Now, of course, there are, you know, endless amount of reasons. And sometimes there are no reasons, right? It just kind of happens because we're human. And of course, it doesn't make it right, but shit, we're all here just trying our best. And we make mistakes and we do things that we regret. And, you know, so many factors can contribute to the actual behavior of cheating. But here are six reasons. Okay, broad strokes. Number one, anger or revenge. Some cheat as an act of revenge. For example, if one partner has been flirting with someone or even cheating, the other partner may cheat as well as a form of a payback, right? Anger-driven infidelity may be driven by frustration when your partner doesn't understand you or your needs, driven by anger at your partner who is never around, driven by anger at a partner who doesn't seem to contribute to the relationship, driven by anger or frustration after an argument. And of course, there are many more. All these are reactions to feelings that are unprocessed and have not been communicated to the partner. or maybe they haven't communicated, but the partner did not hold that space. And these feelings may have very little or nothing to do with the partner and what they bring to the table. Number two, falling out of love. The excitement, passion, and exhilaration of the initial phase of a relationship usually fades over time. And I know that sounds so discouraging. It's a normal thing. You know, when I say that passion fades, it doesn't mean that we're turning the volume down. Passion may show up in a different way, right? So I'm just saying that the initial passion, excitement, you know, everything you feel in the what they call the honeymoon stage, it changes. That lowers. Hopefully, other things are raised, and hopefully you find value in other things in the relationship. It's not just about the butterflies and goosebumps. But some people don't. I think I'm also someone who is who struggles with this, right? Like making an effort to seeing the whole relationship, the 360, instead of putting so much weight on the quote unquote chemistry and the sex and the, you know, sometimes the really sticky and sometimes unhealthy. But you know what I'm talking about, that high school love feeling, right, under the bleachers or the blankets, and you just want to forget about the world and just spend all your time with your partner. That high, that fades, you know. The rush of dopamine drops, and this is normal in every relationship. And I say it's when the love truly begins, right? When things get hard, because it's when we have to work through our differences, look at ourselves and our patterns, and build something sustainable. But many do not do that. Instead, believing the love isn't there anymore, they end up cheating. Simply put, they cheat because they don't want to, as people say in my line of work, do the work. All right, number three, feeling unappreciated. If one partner feels neglect or undervalued in a relationship, they may begin to yearn for those needs to be met elsewhere. Or they may not even consciously be aware of that, but then someone gives them a sense of value or attention, compliments, whatever, and then they realize how thirsty they were for that, you know? Yes, we have a responsibility to fill our own cup, meet our own foundational needs, like feeling worthy and attractive and having our own life outside the relationship. But feeling seen, heard, desired, and respected are legit relationship. They're foundational, you know, they're needs. One would argue that you shouldn't need anything from your partner. Okay, if that's the case, then they are legitimate desires. They are legitimate wants, right? They are, if you're buying a car, this is not sunroof and leather and options. Feeling seen, heard, desired, championed. These are, this is the engine of the car, right? This is the base model. Comes with a base model. When we go, or when they go unmet for long enough, many start looking elsewhere to have those needs satisfied. Lack of commitment. People with commitment issues are more likely to cheat in their relationship, whether because they have a fear of intimacy or abandonment, or because they believe the grass is always greener on the other side. Whatever the reason, they simply struggle with commitment. For some reasons, for commitment-related infidelity may include difference in opinion about whether the relationship should be casual or exclusive, fear of committing even to a partner they love, fear of intimacy, fear of abandonment that leads to not committing for too long or to sabotaging the relationship, not feeling worthy. You know, a lot of people, we may not be aware of this, but we don't feel that we deserve healthy love. So not feeling worthy of healthy love, or not believing they can actually love in a healthy way. And a lot of this can be underneath, right? It's not things that we are conscious of. They may be running. These are false beliefs that may be running underneath. Number five, and this is one most people put a lot of weight on, and that's sexual desire. For some people, infidelity doesn't always spell relationship trouble or unhappiness. Their cheating is simply the result of sexual desire. Even if they are happy and fulfilled in their relationship, some other reasons for infidelity driven by sexual desire may include feeling unsatisfied with sex within the relationship. You may still love your partner, but maybe libidos don't match. Maybe, and it's not just about sex. It's also connection, right? So I think sex is the ripple of connection. So I don't want to just say because people are not having sex or not satisfied that they are cheating, although, you know, some for sure. But I think it has more to do with connection. And then sexual discrepancy may be a byproduct of that. That being said, yeah, I mean, we're different. Everyone's different. You know, our libidos are different. Where we're at in our lives are different, what we're going through. And so that may not line up, you know? It's not a reason to cheat, but many cheat for this reason. A desire to try something new. Some people are into some kinky shit and some people aren't. And I'm so happy that today we live in a world where there are we're definitely peeling labels and not judging, hopefully, not judging and shaming people for what, you know, turns them on, what they're into. A desire, and so that's why a desire to express kinks and fetishes, very different sex drives, a desire to explore sexuality in ways your partner has no idea for, has no desire for. Of course, none of these reasons make cheating okay. I'm going to say that 1,000 times. There should be conversations about different desires and exploration of desires together. However, someone who just wants to have sex may look for opportunities to do so without any other reason. All right, number six, situational opportunity. Infidelity sometimes happens because a partner was in a situation where the opportunity presented itself. But remember, they may also have been primed to cheat for any of the reasons listed here. The situation may have made it easy for them. Maybe they got drunk with a coworker who they already felt close to and had some chemistry with. And maybe they were also drifting in their relationship at home. Or maybe they resented or were angry at their partner. Or their emotional needs weren't met again. None of these reasons make it okay to cheat. But someone who never intended to cheat might do so in a situation that makes it easier to do so, right? Like if the opportunity presented itself, wrong place, wrong time kind of thing, they may make some poor decisions, right? Here are some situational factors that may induce someone to cheat. Being in a long-distance relationship, being on vacation, wanting physical comfort after a distressing event, living or working in an environment that encourages closeness and emotional connection. Now, I want to say and I want to remind you that I do believe overall, although these are all reasons why people cheat, and of course there are more, but I do believe overall cheating is a symptom. Symptom. Oh, I can't speak anymore. I don't know what I'm losing my vision, my ability to speak, enunciate. What's been happening a lot is I have a lisp. It's just out of nowhere. I just woke up with the lisp. It's a symptom of disconnect, of possibly resentment, anger, also disconnection itself, you know? So usually cheating is the symptom of something that is happening in the relationship / relationship with self, right? There is drift, there are problems, there's something happening that leads to cheating most of the time. There, of course, are times where people are happy in their relationship and they still cheat. But I think overall, it's more so because there is disconnect in the relationship, right? Okay, so what do we do about it? You take your agency back. And I'm talking if you have been cheated on. That's who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to people who have cheated. I'm talking to people who have been cheated on. So you've allowed yourself to feel all the feelings, anger, rage, sadness, and you've started to process what happened, right? Hopefully with a therapist, not just with a friend. Our friends don't know how to process shit. They're just going to be like, oh, you know, you dodged a bullet and fuck that guy and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, they're saying it because they love you, but it isn't always helpful. To process what happened, to accept it, to let go, and to stop internalizing. The riptide has passed. Your emotional waves are calming down and you can see the sun again. You've drawn boundaries, you're protecting yourself, and you've started therapy. Now you're ready for the final, most important step. This is the piece where now people may be activated. Okay, ready? Here we go. Taking ownership. I know if you're feeling defensive as you're listening to this, I get it. After all, you weren't the one who cheated, but ownership doesn't mean it was your fault. Taking ownership is acknowledging that you're 50% of any relationship and that you've contributed to the relationship dynamic in some way. Maybe by not expressing your needs. Ownership is how you take your agency back. Many skip this step and default to victim mode. They believe that something happened to them and they become very angry and untrusting and afraid to love again, right? This creates that shield and then they kind of create their own prison. You have to really be honest with yourself and decide whether you're ready for the step. But if you are, it's a crucial step to take if you're going to break through. So, what does taking ownership look like for you? Whenever we own, we are taking power back. And I think that's what you have to remember, right? Whenever we own something, whenever we're saying, okay, I know I didn't cheat, but here's my contribution to this. It was me not expressing myself or maybe me working too hard and drifting or me, whatever it is. Like once you start to own something, you take the power back, right? You're not a victim anymore. You're saying, hey, here's my piece in this, right? And you're not saying that it was your fault. You're just saying that every relationship is 50% you and 50% someone else. And you are a part of this. And here's what you're willing to look at. The other thing that's amazing about taking ownership, or not amazing, but valuable, is you can learn from this and add it to your growth piggy bank. You can grow from you can't grow from things that you are not willing to look at and own, right? So to own something means that you have to look at something, and by looking at something, you are now understanding more about love, about yourself, about what you want, don't want, what works, what doesn't, maybe some unhealthy patterns, and all of that you are going to use to evolve and grow and be a better version of you, and then you're bringing that to the table in your next relationship. So taking ownership is crucial. And I don't have a what that looks like for everyone, because it's going to be different. You know, I don't know how you showed up in your relationship. Only you do. Or actually, you may not until you go on this journey of looking at things and then you realize, oh, this is how I showed up, right? But it all starts with intention, and that intention is to own your piece in this. Hope that was helpful. Stay tuned for or look out for some more excerpts from my new book, Break Up on Purpose. It's not out yet. It'll be out hopefully, I don't know, end of 2024, maybe the beginning of 2025. It takes a while. It's like, you know, to write a book, to give birth to a book, and then for that book to, you know, go through the factory of the cover and then the editing and all that. It's kind of like making a movie. It takes like a year or so. A little bit less than a year, I think. Anyway, super excited about this book, and hopefully you pick it up when it comes out. Thank you for listening. Be well.